My name is Gordon Novell. I have been involved in things like Watergate and JFK's assassination and the DeLorean drama and Waco and others that would be better not mentioned. They're all over our rights. You know, the Constitution's out the window. Patriot Act is a joke. It's a fascist document.
Why? And the answer is paradoxes. They recognized in the mid-50s they probably had rigs, Dugway, et cetera, that were beginning to go up and down from the thing, and they began to recognize the paradoxes. And the paradoxes are, tell me how you're going to run an economy. We're getting ready to cut loose a study with Arlington Institute on how do you run an economy if you know the future. How do you do it? How do you do it?
We're interested in the plutopian enhancement of the economy from about $44 trillion GDP currently to about a quadrillion a year in about 10 years, and making everybody about 100 times more wealthy and spreading the wealth out and causing an equalization, and people don't have to work if they don't have to pay for energy.
But how many of them are real? About, have you ever seen a photograph of an E.T. that you really believe was a photograph of E.T.? And the answer is, I ain't seen one yet. Now, do I believe they're out there? The question, yes. But, you know, what Burrish said seemed to be real. And I would believe that he got to meet them. If any, they would interface with Majestic before they would interface with a group of mad rebels, okay?
I'm in favor of the what I call the extraterrestrial revolution, which gets rid of the need for government and all of this crap that goes with it, these decision makers that basically screw with our lives every day.
They know that we will play hardball and that we know how to play hardball. I mean, now that we built, thanks to Bill Hamilton identifying all the Majestic characters, you can go chase them. You know, they're chaseable. The guy has really got a tail. And
that's right.
And I would suspect that if he and I could get on the same page, that he would be able to communicate to the Majestic inner circle of, hey, you need to consider what these guys are doing, because, you know, they're going to do it with you or without you. They've got your technology. They've got it. They're prepared to fight you at the drop of a lawsuit.
Well, so what do you want to do? You want them to join your team?
Well, ideally, it would be to get Majestic on our side.
That's what I'm asking.
You know, yeah, absolutely. You know, and then we could confront the Bilderbergers, because when I tried to confront the Bilderbergers via Kissinger and Brzezinski, the next thing I know is, I mean, marijuana's turning up my pocket, crack cocaine under my front seat of my car, videotapes going out, and da 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 da. My apartment's being black bagged. I mean, it was endless. I mean, I got a list of all that crap.
What's the difference between the mafia and the government if they're trying to kill you? None. You know, nothing. They're all the same. So, gangsters. If I had to do a biography today, I'd title it Government by Gangster, My Experiences as a Citizen of the United States of America.
Hal has told me stories of interviews that he's had with generals who said, yes, we put all the money into paying for studies to keep universities from doing anti-grav work in the physics department as long, and we would give them $5 million to do the six habits of fruit flies, you know, that kind of stuff. And they paid off. They stopped all anti-gravity research commencing in the mid-50s.
Reasons beyond his control, Mr. Novell was not responsible for the final economic planning, construction, management, or operations of the exposition. For the many years I have known Mr. Novell, he has always been a gentleman and a businessman of honor and integrity with a highly creative and very broad macro vision. He has extensive business, political, intelligence, research, and technical skills in program planning, organization, and proper management execution on any scale. During the long term of our relationship, Gordon has become nationally known for his controversial investigative concerns and socio-political campaigns. He is, in point of fact, an absolutely fearless individual in pursuit of the people's justice when he believes in the righteousness of his cause. By definition, he is a true American patriot. I highly recommend him to anyone for his experience, leadership, genius, and persistence and determination to see his or others' visions successfully realized. I am proud to call him my friend, Blaine Curran.
That's a great letter.
Yeah. So,
is that a publishable letter?
Yes.
So, Gordon, you are a very, let's say, notorious individual. And we are incredibly pleased to be able to interview you today. And you've got an incredible project that we're not going to talk about at all, I don't think. But you've certainly raised our curiosity and our admiration by the amazing amount of work you're going into to actually, can I say, bring free energy to the planet?
Hopefully.
Hopefully?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about who you are for people that have never heard, I know it's hard to believe, but have never heard of Gordon Novell.
Well, I don't know how to, my name is Gordon Novell. I have been involved in things like Watergate and JFK's assassination and the DeLorean drama and Waco and others that would be better not mentioned that were more intelligence-oriented or foreign intelligence-oriented, so I kind of stay away from talking about that.
Okay.
And I have never worked for the CIA. I'm not a CIA agent. I'm affiliated, I work with, and we have a mutual admiration society based upon my relationship with the individuals I work with.
Okay, and
but
can you name those individuals or not?
I'd prefer not to at this time. I think it would be a better idea not to, to mention them. They're known, but there's no. I don't need the ego trip of that association.
Okay, and right now you actually have a project that you're coming to Hollywood to a movie.
Yeah,
that's okay to say, right?
Yeah, we're doing a trilogy project on a trilogy of films called Kingdoms Come with my co-producer, Doug Ivanovich, and we're currently in the process of funding the project in the hundreds of millions of dollar level.
Okay. And is it correct that the CIA is actually backing your other project? Is that something you want to say?
Well, they're interested in supporting and endorsing a number of things that I'm doing because they are capable of changing things like global warming and getting rid of global warming and getting rid of the chaotic conditions of our current New World Order and that kind of thing, getting rid of the murder and mayhem that goes on in the planet.
Okay, and this is now, would you say, the good side of the CIA? There's more than one side to the CIA, is there not?
The CIA has multiple sides, but it's been my experience over the years that they're basically the only good guys in the entire United States government. They're really patriots. Most of them are patriots, and I personally have never known them to do anything criminal ever, and they didn't kill John Kennedy, and they didn't kill a lot of people that they've been accused of causing the death of, but I don't know that to be true. So I can tell you that my experience with them has been like dealing with Eagle Scouts.
Okay. How long have you been dealing with them?
Since about age 20.
Did you have anything to do with the death of Robert Kennedy or Jack Kennedy?
No, absolutely not.
Why do people think that you did?
Because I was I was working at the White House and then on a counterintelligence project that was kind of important, and then I got referenced over to Garrison and he made me his chief of security, and then I discovered that he was fabricating evidence, and he found out that I had discovered that and had turned it over to NBC, so he decided that the best way was to make me his most important material witness since he wasn't accusing me of a crime. But it cost me a lot of grief, and a lot of people thought I was involved, which I wasn't. Never was involved in that.
Okay.
I have one of the best alibis in the world.
And you actually, you have a lot of feeling or simpatico, isn't that true, with what Kennedy stood for?
Yeah, I was in favor of his revelations that were apparently about to happen, having to do with extraterrestrials and the technologies, and I think that they kept him in the dark on a lot of stuff, and it was one of the reasons that motivated him to want to go to the moon. So I was very pro John F. Kennedy.
Okay.
Very
pro.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what about Robert Kennedy?
I was personally affiliated with the Attorney General during the Garrison thing, and afterwards when he ran for president. And my only feeling about him is that he probably helped precipitate a lot of the problems that caused the assassination of his brother.
Okay, so...
By chasing the mafia, for example.
Uh-huh.
Because the mafia supported his brother's election substantively, and they got very angry at him, along with folks like the ex-Galen Org or Galen organization of the Nazis and other people like that that were out to, and Majestic, I might add,
okay,
were really all out to get him and didn't want him to.
So Majestic was around back then.
Yeah.
And did they have something to do with the death of Robert Kennedy?
I don't think that they had anything to do with the death of Robert Kennedy. If Robert Kennedy was murdered by an assassination, it was a Manchurian Candidate type of thing, and I don't know who engineered it. But I've never, ever known an individual at the CIA to ever indicate to me that they were part of any plot. And I've known a lot of them, including directors.
And what about John Kennedy? Was that a Manchurian Candidate as well?
No, I think it was just a patsy. You know, Oswald was picked for his role in maybe one of a dozen plots that were being hatched off at the time, and he just happened to be in the right place at the right time to get the pin the tail on the donkey.
Okay, so how many shots were fired?
I mean, you can, near as I can hear, there were like three or four. So, you know, I don't believe that he did it, that anybody could have done that the way they claim he did it. And I couldn't do it, and I don't know anybody that could do it. And so I don't believe it. I don't believe the Malik or Carcano did the deed. It may have well been used in the deed, but did it actually cause the death? I'm not sure what did it. Could have been frangible bullets coming from somewhere else up on the grass, you know, et cetera.
Uh-huh. And did you think that, I guess, Lyndon Johnson or anyone else had a hand in it?
If they did, they certainly kept it away from me because I was working with the chief of staff at the White House at the time. When the Garrison thing came down, I was working with the chief of staff, and I never knew any involvement by the chief of staff or Mr. Johnson, and I was very friendly with both of them. So
uh-huh.
The answer is, I don't think that. I think they were just down the pecking order of power that runs the world, and they just happened to be conveniently in the places where they were at the time.
Okay, so, well, as far as Majestic or the Illuminati or the Bilderbergs,
the Galen
or the Rockefellers,
Org, the Galen Org.
The Galen
Org. There was a German SS officer by the name of Galen who had a continuing organization that continued on past World War II that was substantively involved in lots of nasty stuff and still is today.
Okay. And are they set up in this country?
They're set up all over the world. But they mostly answer, if not to the Illuminati, is the only place I know that they answer to anybody. Most people all answer to the Illuminati if there's any power in any country.
What about Majestic? Do they get along with the Illuminati?
According to my information, Majestic and the Illuminati are not seeing eye to eye over the idea of triaging the population of the planet in order to bring the population down to a workable level or it's safe to have life. We're approaching a very high number, around 7 billion people, and they would like to triage a bunch of the population, and Majestic, which is mostly U.S. military people and some other foreigners, don't want to see that. They're not in favor of mass assassination by AIDS viruses and stuff like that.
So this is a good side to the Majestic 12.
It's the only good side I know of.
Okay. Because I know you're not real friendly with them.
I am friendly with a couple of the members of it, but I'm not friendly with their programs to destabilize some of my businesses. So
okay.
They were very nasty last year, and we almost ended up whacking each other, and it didn't happen because of a CIA safe house agreement that protected me and saved my life, actually. So I'm very, very, very indebted to the CIA.
So what can you tell us about why you don't get along with Majestic? Like, what is it that puts you guys at odds?
Maybe this will tell us why the CIA doesn't get along with Majestic. We sort of expropriated their technologies from the aliens, and we're not giving it back, and we're just...
You personally?
Yeah. We got very lucky back about 17, 18 years ago, and we got our hands on the technology and worked to reverse engineer it and pretty much figured it out. And at which point, we began to figure out everything that they were doing. So they don't like the fact that I have that, and I have put up a protective wall that they can't beat. So they killing me is just going to cause it to go all over the web. So the CD-ROMs, they're all packaged real well against that eventuality. They better hope I never have a heart attack.
Okay. So you've set that up so you're protected.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends in foreign countries who have copies of the CD-ROM, which is basically a Green Mail 101 type of document, and it says, as long as you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You fool with me, I'll eat your lunch.
So tell me a little bit about how you came across, I mean, you're really a big picture thinker, and how did you actually start thinking along these lines?
I started off as an aeronautical engineer when I was in college, and I got real interested in what makes UFOs go, and so I just kind of pursued the trail of the technology as opposed to the aliens and that kind of stuff, and that's all I do is pursue the technology, and I got lucky, got very, very lucky, and got my hands on a cutaway of their bird, and then use the cutaway, the engineering cutaways, to reverse engineer the technology.
But you're not basing your theories on, say, Tesla or Otis Carr, isn't that right?
No, we base it on what we can see is functional and works. We know is real. We've got about 12,000 frames of film of the bird dancing around the skies of Area 51.
So this is an ARV, isn't that what it's called?
That's what some people call it. We call it RAM, Replication Alien Machine.
Oh, I see.
They call it Alien Reproduction Vehicle, and we don't do that. We are into the universality of the circuit design that they use to negate gravity, inertia, and time.
Okay, so you know something about time travel as well.
Yeah, a UFO is probably very much like the cars in Back to the Future. They are flying time machines.
Okay.
They're capable of going backwards and forwards in time.
And what's your vision? What's your vision for the world? Could you tell us in general terms?
Our vision is to get the energy out there so that we can eliminate oil, coal, and gas and nuclear fuels from polluting the atmosphere and causing the carbon dioxide that's creating the global warming. And that and the concomitant reduction in the cost of living by about 80% of the cost of living is attributed to the paying for energy. So if you don't have to pay it out, you get to keep it.
Okay, but aren't you worried about the economy? You're actually trying to safeguard certain aspects of the economy in the process?
We're interested in the plutopian enhancement of the economy from about 44 trillion GDP currently to about a quadrillion a year in about 10 years, and making everybody about 100 times more wealthy and spreading the wealth out and causing an equalization, and people don't have to work if they don't have to pay for energy.
Okay, so, but you're worried about the bankers, isn't that what you're
talking
about?
Yeah, we're definitely worried about the paradoxes that are associated with time travel in terms of its interference and how you'd run an economy and how you'd have government. If you knew what the future's going to be, how do you have interests? How do you have stocks? How do you have bonds? How do you have banks? How do you have taxes? How do you have government? Because that's all.
Okay, why just because you're going to build a vehicle are you going to know the
vehicle creates those problems that you must resolve before you can introduce the technology. You've got to know what the resolution of those paradoxes are. We call them, they create mindsets that are very dramatic in terms of how people's brains function.
Is that because when you get in a vehicle, you're actually time traveling?
Well, to negate gravity, you got to negate time, and so time is the power of the bird, and that's where the power. We don't believe it comes from space or zero point. We believe it comes from time, purely and simply, and that energy and time are the same thing.
And isn't Bill Hamilton working with you at this time?
Oh yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, he's one of my science team.
Because he's written a book on time travel, I know.
Yeah, it's quite accurate, I might add.
Oh, very good. That's nice to hear. And what about Ramsey Clark? What's your relationship with Ramsey?
Ramsey and I have been friends since I was in my early 20s working at the White House in counterintelligence measures, electronic countermeasures for the Johnson administration. I've subsequently been associated with the Republicans, with President Nixon and President Reagan.
Okay, but now, didn't you call yourself a libertarian anarchist? Is that right?
I've gone from being originally a Democrat to a Republican to a libertarian to a libertarian anarchist. I'm in favor of massive change. I'm in favor of the what I call the extraterrestrial revolution, which gets rid of the need for government and all of this crap that goes with it. These decision makers that basically screw with our lives every day.
Okay.
And I don't think they're necessary. If we know the future, we don't need people to make decisions for us. Decisions already made.
Okay, why aren't you working with Bob Bigelow, for example?
Because Mr. Bigelow is worried, apparently, about his funding from the Senate and the Congress for his inflatable HABs that he's putting up in the shuttle and some of his satellite work. And if he does work on the alien technology, then he won't get funded. They don't want to fund you. The government can't fund you if you're trying to.
Is that because Majestic holds the rights over the alien technology?
No, we own the intellectual property these days, and we tell them that. So I guess they probably figured out that we'd figured out how to get a grip on the intellectual property, but they don't want it out for many, many reasons. I mean, you're talking about destabilizing oil, coal, gas, and nuclear, and the banks that are associated with the cash flow, which is huge. It's 80% of the economy for the energy, and that money all flows through banks. And if the banks don't get it, what do they get? They lose about 80% of their cash flow.
So is the idea that they're letting, say, the CIA is working with you on this now, because it's basically coming to an end game? Is that what?
Yeah, I mean, there's an evolution toward the revelation of what the technology is to the world. And in my opinion, CIA is probably going to be the only agency that survives the revolution. I've never known one that wasn't a patriot in one way. And I mean, patriots that walk in the bullets.
Okay, but talking about patriots in the sense the United States is going to run the world?
Patriots in the sense that the United States is going to evolve along with the rest of the nations of the world into some type of new, what we call New Earth Order, or better system of how things work, which is not necessarily a world government, but probably is more like a system where the future is known. God writes the scripts before time passes, and he knows, in most of your religions, they claim that God knows the past, the present, and the future. Well, if he knows the future, it's because he wrote the script. If you can see the script, then all you can do is live the script. So that's what we believe happens, that the forward time scanning capabilities of the technology allow governments to not have to be governments, because there's no need for decisions by bureaucrats. You don't need them to tell you how to live. It's all written out how it's going to be. It's all alien or extraterrestrial. I don't like to use the word alien. Extraterrestrial civilizations probably all go through the exact same revolution. Oil seems to be a part of the evolution of planets to get their energy, and then the oil is no longer needed because it creates problems like the global warming problems that we have today.
So are you building a craft to go to Mars?
No, we're building power generators and technology to build starships. That's our objective.
To the edge of the solar system?
Go to the edge of the universe. We're not interested in the solar system. Solar system, there's nothing out there of any consequence.
Okay. And have you met any aliens?
No. No, I know people who claim they constantly communicate with them and are in touch with them, but no, I haven't had the pleasure or displeasure.
Have you ever communicated with them through your friends, say?
Yeah, we attempt to have these surrogate little discussions. But
oh, yeah? Because you work with Lizette, what's her last name?
Larkin.
Larkin, yeah, and she wrote the book Talking with Extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. and sounds like she communicates with someone out there.
Yeah, you can't attribute her level of intelligence to going to school. It's just not there, that type of thinking and the type of philosophy that she says that they advocate and the way that they see life and how we should live it is completely... It's not anything that we currently enjoy.
Yeah. Right. So you've had dialogues through her?
Yeah, we're currently trying to set up contact.
Okay.
But I don't know if we'll ever have any success.
Okay. So you don't know what the ET thinks of you?
I know, and I...
And your project.
I don't know whether or not they even think on that level. We are trying to find out if they do, and it's been our experience that women seem to run the future, and extraterrestrial societies are supposedly led and directed by women, so the female side of the equation. So we're very pro that idea, because women don't like war and don't like the consequences of war, and we should have more women in Congress. We'd have a much more peaceful business of government.
And doesn't a woman figure pretty prominently in your movie scenario?
Yeah, we got the judges and the prosecutors are women, and we kind of look at them as the ultra-terrestrials, the folks that don't need spaceships to move around. They just think and they're there. So yeah. We're very avant-garde toward the idea of women being the leaders of tomorrow, not men.
Now, didn't you used to be friends with John Lear?
Yeah, we were good friends a long time.
Okay, so did you go to Area 51 with him, or
no?
Where
I refused.
Did you know him from?
The night that he and Bob Lazar got stopped out there by the Whacking Hut guys and all of that and all that. Whether or not it all happened, if it happened, it seemed to me to be a kind of a setup routine. And Dr. Ulig, George Ulig, and I were friends, the director of research and development, Hercules, and we didn't want to go there. We didn't want to go with John. We thought there was something smelly about it, so we didn't go, and it pissed John off no end.
Uh-huh. But you remained friends after that.
I knew his mom and dad before that time period. I go back to this late 60s with being affiliated with his father, and knew his mother, Moya, because she was very close to my friend John DeLorean, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. So what can you tell us about John DeLorean?
It's a great sadness, believe me, when I say that he's gone, because he was one of the great men of all of the 20th century in terms of his thinking of the idea of non-obsolescent cars by building cars out of stainless steel and making cars where they didn't wear out, which is very possible, and they don't want to do it, you know. So I thought, I worked very closely with him. We've been friends since I was 15 years old. I met him out on the Bonneville Salt Flats when he was sponsoring Mickey Thompson's land speed record car. So John and I go way, way back. And I thought he was one of the great men of all time. He really was.
Sounds like he's to some degree an inspiration for what you're doing now.
He was a grand mentor. He knew how to fight once he knew what he was fighting. And he and I were very close friends. And he allowed me to kick the crap out the FBI, so it was fun, you know, to be very frank. And the FBI is quite a formidable group of folks, but when I had John DeLorean as my associate and client, it was easy to beat their brains out.
But you're not a lawyer, so when you say he was your client, in what way was he your client?
I was his chief of strategic planning. You might call me his chief investigator, like I am for Ramsey Clark. I've been Ramsey's chief.
You're using present tense. You're still working with Ramsey.
Yeah. I'm still, but I didn't do Saddam. I'm not affiliated with the Saddam defense. I left him out. I'm not bulletproof. Ramsey's got a halo, and nobody wants to kill Ramsey, but I'm not sure they wouldn't do it to me. So let's put it like this. The stories I could tell you, I don't want to tell you about that. It's a very dangerous game, very, very dangerous to defend Saddam Hussein. He's had a couple of his lawyers murdered by the Ministry of Interior, and I think that the whole trial, not saying that Saddam's a good guy, that the whole trial was a charade and it should have been in The Hague, a la Milosevic, and that trying him without a Sunni judge on the bench and assassinating his lawyers is not the way you conduct a trial. You don't conduct a trial by killing off somebody's defense lawyers. I'm amazed that they didn't kill Mr. Clark.
Okay, but didn't we set Saddam up to begin with anyway?
Yeah. I mean, Saddam was like a saber-toothed tiger, and after the Iran-Iraq war, and he was starving, and he jumped out in the middle of the road to grab an antelope out there. He thought he was going to eat, and the next thing he heard was beep, beep, and the 18-wheeler ran him down, which was us invading him, you know.
Kuwait,
yeah. I thought that I don't think Saddam should have gone to Kuwait. That was a dumb move and a very big mistake, but you got to realize they called his loans, and he didn't have any money to pay them, so he called their country. You know, they should have left him alone and let him restore his economy so that he could pay him off.
What about the Stargates? You believe in that?
I don't believe in Stargates. I'm not a fan of Stargates. I've heard that they exist from people who claim that, but in fact, we use it in the movie. The technology is a weapons delivery system of the first magnitude because there's no way you can stop it. Bang, it opens up over your planet. You got a nuke going off. How do you stop that? There's no defense against a Stargate for a weapons delivery system. So if they exist, they're the most formidable weapons delivery system other than a UFO that could ever be. So philosophically, I'd like to see the elimination of the forms of government that we have today that basically, they're all over our rights. You know, the Constitution's out the window. Patriot Act is a joke. It's a fascist document.
So what do you think of the neocons?
Gangsters. I call them gangbangsters. I don't think of anybody that can go off and put a war like Iraq together and kill 150,000 people all deserve to be tried for war crimes.
Uh-huh.
That's what I believe. They ought to all be hung for war crimes.
But you were very involved in Waco, isn't that right?
Yeah.
So what happened with Waco? Because you have a very interesting story along those lines.
They murdered him.
Right.
They mass murdered him. The ATF attacked him, and they got the response that they asked for because they knew what they were going up against, and they blew off the front door, and they killed everybody standing around the front door. And they then hid the front doors. After they filled them full of bullet holes, they naturally came and got them and got rid of them. They set the place on fire and they blew them up.
Why? Do you know why?
Apparently part of the games that they're playing to set us up for 9/11 and some of the other things in order to create us into a neo-fascist political police state.
So that was something
quasi-military political police state.
Okay, but didn't you tell me that you got the FBI sort of into a corner in that?
Yeah, I got him with the FLIR tape. Myself and Bill Colby got together, and we discovered that there was a lot of gunshots on the FLIR tape, and the government then put on a charade test of it. The judge was the real culprit in the whole thing. He engineered the whole assassination of all those people. Obliteration.
But Janet Reno had complete control, didn't she?
She did, but she was just there when the truck went by or the bus went by, and she wasn't there when they did it, and she came in a little later and did it, and she covered it all up, and she doesn't like me a whole bunch, and I don't like her a bunch. Uh-huh. So that's about the way I consider her a criminal, you know, a major league criminal. So I consider all those people that assassinated those people, because those were a bunch of innocent people.
There were children in there as well.
Yeah, they killed 28 kids. I mean, but they've killed 25,000 kids in Iraq, so what's a big deal?
Right.
Maybe more, 35,000 children have been murdered in this war over there on terror. And how do you have a war on terror? Terror and war are all the same. It's all the same thing. One guy's terrorist and another man's freedom fighters and vice versa. It's a BS war, and those people are, we should get out of there.
Okay, what about 9/11?
I'm a fan of Jim Mars. You know, okay. I'm a believer that we probably had a big hand in doing that too, based upon the demolition of the buildings. And you can see those puffs of smoke coming from the demolition charges off the buildings. That's not, you know, do I believe that they would do something like that? Yeah. Do I believe that they would set it up? My answer is, where's Osama bin Laden? I mean, this government could find a roach in the Brazilian rainforest if they wanted to. So where is Osama? And I don't believe we're trying to catch him. I believe we have a deal with him and his family, the bin Laden family and the Bush family, like that. So do I believe that this is an honorable government? The answer is no. Do I believe that they're murderers and mass murderers? Yes. Do I believe they ought to be prosecuted in a international tribunal with war criminals? Yes. I think we need to get out of Vietnam. I mean, it's not Vietnam, but Iraq. It's not much different. It's a horror story. We're just over there murdering people. We haven't got any justification for it whatsoever. It's no just cause.
Sense that you talk about, I don't know, I don't even get the lingo, but you're talking about wet.
I mean, when people try to kill you, you do what you got to do to make sure they don't. Or if they try to intimidate you, you make sure that they don't do it.
Well, do you have a bodyguard? I mean, you're pretty brave.
I'm pretty good at that myself. So
oh, you are?
I don't need, I can't trust bodyguards. They always end up getting you killed.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, do you carry, I don't know, do you carry, as they say?
No. I carry... a relationship on with the big guy who protects me against assholes.
Okay.
That's a good way to describe it.
What's MJ-12's absolute sort of agenda in your view? Because I gotta feel that you guys are at cross purposes to some degree.
Yeah, we are at cross purposes, but it's because I want control of their technology so I don't have to go through the R&D process on it. And we just want to deploy it in order to prevent global warming, because if you get rid of oil, coal, gas, and nuclear, you're going to get rid of all the pollution of the planet.
But why wouldn't MJ-12 want the same thing? Because
they click their heels to the Bilderbergers, who basically their greed and power. I mean, they're the bankers of the world. So their desire for power is greater than their desire to protect their children and grandchildren from being buried in the same grave with them. That's how I look at it.
You're familiar with Dan Burrish, right?
Yeah.
And you've expressed interest in working with him, isn't that true?
Yeah.
So why?
Because he's got wires.
He's got what?
He's got wires in the places where we'd like to have wires.
Oh, meaning contacts?
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, what are you also interested in what he knows? As a scientist?
Some of it's interesting, but I am into the idea of being able to make contact with extraterrestrials. I think it's an excellent idea that they could be helpful. They certainly have a knowledge of how to get past. They got past the trials and tribulations this planet's going through in their own society, and they evolve into... what we believe to be somewhat of a, we don't call it utopian, we call it plutopian. Sort of a madhouse of ideas that are completely different from what we view as what we would call utopia. But the idea of getting rid of the cost of energy in our economy is really good, because that keeps 80 cents out of every dollar you spend stays in your pocket. You get rich that quite quick. Everybody gets rich.
When did you start working on this?
Oh, probably in the early 70s, I got involved in really trying to run it to ground and doing an investigation in terms of trying to get our hands on the technology, and then we lucked into it one day.
When you say we, who's we?
Well, I have a group of folks that I call the Knights Templar, are the most prominent aerospace engineers and physicists in the world today, all part of a team we call the RAM Group. We call ourselves the Knights Templar. We took a page out of the idea of the Templars, who basically blackmailed the Pope to give them the fiefdoms over Europe that created the banking orders we have today. Since we believe the technology is rooted in time, we call ourselves the Knights Templar. The alien technology, the UFO, is a basically traveling, a flying time machine. That's what we believe, and that's all we know about it indicates that.
Okay, so you believe in time travel, but you don't believe in wormholes. How is that possible?
Well, because I don't need a worm travel if I can get across the universe fast enough. I mean, who wants a wormhole? I mean, a wormhole's an idea that nobody has been able to show me any physics whatsoever that can be happening. Maybe it can, I don't know, but it seems like it's going to take a lot of energy to keep that hole open.
So do you have a degree in physics?
No, I research it like I do all of my intelligence operations.
Are you a genius?
I always will say that the most unpleasant thing in life is to have a 200 IQ in a 100 IQ world. I don't know. I know that I am constantly offended by the ignorant bastards that live on this planet that I have to deal with all the time. And they're very dumb.
So, and one of those ignorant bastards stole your girlfriend, is that right?
Which one? Which one stole
me? I don't know. I'm asking you.
What they did was they basically knew that I was working on paradox research for the university, one of the universities that we have involved in it, and that they knew that I was fooling around with something that was very psychologically dangerous. And they took the advantage to take some love letters and rewrite them like you would fake a tape. And sent them off to her, and she took umbrage, and I haven't been able to put it back.
And you're looking maybe with your movie to rekindle your love of your life?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I give my right arm to do that, but I mean, you know, if she wants to, as I've told her, she's going to have to stand behind the Ashley Judge's and the Turners and the Salma Hayek's to get the job unless she's sweet.
Okay. So what else can you tell us about why you pursue this with such, really almost, fanaticism?
Pursue what?
Your idea for this craft. Building a UFO in essence.
Well, we're not really interested so much in building the craft. Building a starship's wonderful because the craft are shuttlecraft. The UFO is a shuttlecraft or a starship,
okay.
Most instances. And not to say that they can't get across as quick, it's just a lot more dangerous when you don't have the support system. So what we believe is that the idea is to make electrical power. Be able to replace, be able to put what might look like a silo at a utility grid site where they have a relay station and just put that there and get a gigawatt out of it. And that, if you can mass produce those toys and get rid of the need to pump oil into these fuel reactors that we have out there that make power in cars and planes and boats and trains and everything else is unnecessary. You can get rid of all that. You don't have to fly it initially, but you definitely have to get rid of it. We don't need petrol-burning machines, and we don't need to waste a lot of time going through all of this evolution of hydrogen economy because it takes a barrel of oil to make a barrel of hydrogen, and that's a charade.
Okay, but what's going to happen if there are earth changes to your ideas?
Well, we're in favor of being able to make changes to the Earth changes quickly. We're in a race to try to get this technology developed before the Earth is. I don't call it global warming. I call it global burning. I mean, it's getting hot. It's getting really hot, and it's. I mean, when you see the.
Well, isn't this the sun? Yeah, and the solar flare has got something to do with that.
I mean, the some people say that, but I mean, it's obvious that from Vice President Gore's film, Unintended Consequences, or whatever he called it, we are heating up the upper atmosphere by pumping carbon dioxide out the tailpipes of our cars and out of our planes and out of our trains and out of our boats and out of our everything.
So this is the time bomb that you think you're up against, is global warming.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the tales about the black planet coming through and Nibiru and all of that. And, you know, show me, and I'm from Missouri, you got to show me a picture of it coming, and I'll buy it. But they tell me it's there, and I mean, I've heard stories about it. But, I mean, for me, it's, you know, I think E.T. keeps us here. E.T. created us, and E.T.'s purpose is to keep this little laboratory called Earth going forward toward evolution so that we can grow up to become extraterrestrials and spread our seed out through the universe and basically spread life, which is the prime directive, not to go where no man's gone before. It's just to go and to take life out there, because there's probably more places to put life than there is people to put on it. There's a lot of planets.
Okay. Well, that's actually a beautiful idea.
Well, it's the best thing I can think of to do. I mean, I've got enough time in my life to do it.
And you think you're going to last? Do you think you're gonna deliver this time?
Well, you know, all you can do in going up Everest is try. You know, I mean, it's just, do you make it to the top or do you don't? I mean, it's not the accomplishment of getting to the top. It's the doing of trying to do the deed. You know, if you don't do the deed, at least you tried, you know. I can't say that you weren't serious type of human being, you know.
We're going to kind of backtrack a little bit, and we're going to ask you about Watergate.
Okay.
Because now, if I understand, you wired the Oval Office?
Yeah, I put an electronic countermeasure system to defeat people bugging the Oval Office.
Okay.
And bugging that was, conversations or recording any conversations in the room.
Right. Were you involved in also supposedly
erasing all the tapes. Yeah.
The tapes of Nixon's tapes, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a good idea.
It was a good idea.
Yeah, I wish I'd have done it.
Okay, but they weren't erased. And you've heard them then,
yeah.
Right? You've heard it. You must have heard all
4,004 tapes.
Really?
Yeah.
And so what can you tell us? What do you know?
I think if I had knowing the level of intrigue that was going on and what Watergate was really all about was much of a cover-up of why we lost the war in Vietnam. It was they were about to have Senate hearings is this on?
Yeah.
They were about to have Senate hearings about a postmortem on Watergate, and the powers that be elected to create Watergate to take our attention away from the postmortem, and the Senate and the House Intelligence Committees became so busy with Watergate that they couldn't do the postmortem on Vietnam, which I believe is the crime of crimes. It was a terrible crime. We were over there just to get money and take the money out the Golden Triangle for dope, take it out to Area 51.
So you're saying that the money for dope went straight to Area 51?
The whole Vietnam exercise and killing 55,000 Americans and about 2 million Vietnamese was for the purposes of operating the Golden Triangle's heroin operations in order to pump the money into Area 51, because they couldn't fund it except by going off balance sheet. And they did Vietnam, and then they did Afghanistan in the 80s, and then they did Colombia in the 90s with the cocaine, the crack cocaine crap, which is as evil gets.
And so basically you're saying that our government is running the drugs?
I'm saying that Majestic is no longer part of the government of the United States, and it's been privatized and it's run by the people who run the world.
Okay, so you're alluding to the fact that Majestic is responsible for running the drugs. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, with the help of other agencies of the government, they moved a lot of that money.
The FBI?
Sort of, maybe. Probably, okay. Probably.
And not the CIA? I mean, everybody
probably.
Always says the CIA is involved in all that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to throw rocks at them. They did what they did, but, you know, they thought that they were doing the right thing. Mark felt when he told Bob Woodward that the whole reason for Watergate was all about covering up the Vietnamese operations of the drug sales and the Golden Triangle to supply the money to do the back engineering of the UFO, which cost billions upon billions upon billions, 100 billion plus.
To back engineer the UFO?
Yeah, the crash at Roswell and other places, crashes.
So what do you know about the crash at Roswell?
What you read, it's all out there.
Did Nixon know?
Probably.
Probably?
Probably.
Are you saying probably because you know, or are you saying probably because you don't want to be
probably
on the record?
I don't want to go on
know.
Rock. I don't want to go on record. I don't know that he knew for a fact, but I had information when I was at the White House that he was doing that.
Okay.
That he recognized that Watergate was an exercise that he didn't understand by intelligence operatives that were just a bit sharper than him, like McCord's finding of putting the tape on the door twice so that the guard would get him arrested and that kind of crap. It's just, yeah, it's beyond the pale. Anybody if you find that somebody is taking the tape off the door that you're using so you can get exit the place and you go put it back, then all you're asking for is to get arrested. So McCord, in my opinion, set the president up. And Liddy was a pawn, and he was used miserably by the guys who gave him the gemstone graphics that were used to cause all of Watergate. Just what I know.
Uh-huh. And can you tell me about didn't they develop the whole idea of the Manchurian candidate during the Vietnam War?
Well, Lawrence Harvey, the actor, probably might be able to tell you more about that than me, but the answer is that technology's probably been around a while. So, you know, the ability to get people who are psychos, who are, I think the word is, I'm trying to get the word, synabolistic, where they're subject to being hypnotized in a second, and whatever you tell them to do, they'll do. So, you know.
So, but this is MK Ultra we're talking about.
Yeah, MK Ultra had a major league play in all of this. So, you know, who's running MK Ultra type of research now is anybody's guess. It isn't CIA anymore. I like to think I had a hand in causing that to go away from Langley.
Want us to believe that Langley's not involved in that, and other people are?
Yeah.
And because the idea is that
I've never known CIA to be a bunch of assassins. They're just too classy. They're not into whacking people as a course of reality.
And you're not holding on to any kind of notion of honor because this is the only shred of honor left on the planet that you can believe in?
I have never known anyone that I've ever been associated with in CIA to be a criminal. Ever, ever, ever.
Okay, can you tell us about J. Edgar Hoover?
He's not a nice guy. I don't think he was a nice guy.
Okay, he wasn't a nice guy. He spied on everyone, right?
That's indicated, yeah.
Okay.
That's probably true.
And but what did you had some kind of real dealings with Hoover, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about that?
It's all that you're going to do is you're going to, it's just going to piss off the FBI and they're going to want to fight some more and I don't want to fight with them. I mean, I like to think that I'm the guy who put the dress on him. He deserved to wear the dress, so let's leave it at that.
Didn't Colby dead?
Yes.
How'd he die?
You drowned in 3 feet of water.
How do you do that?
You get pushed. You get your head pushed under the water.
I see. And you know who did the deed, so to speak?
There was a lot of dying going on in around the FLIR tape at Waco, and the chief, the guy who did the forensic work, he croaked at his desk, sitting at his desk, and just suddenly decided to die, and nobody ever gave me a decent pathology report on his autopsy, and Colby was right in the middle of it, and he was the one who helped me get it all out, so we thought it was going to sink the FBI. I mean, the CIA was very anti-FBI in that time frame, and they were in my corner. I mean, it's a well-known fact, they were really in my corner. So what we were doing was trying to prevent any more assaults on religion by the FBI. We were not, you know, leave the kids alone. Don't kill the kiddies. And that was, Mr. Clark is, in my opinion, a lot of people think he's the grand contrarian. He may well be, but and remember, I come from a Republican background, so when people talk to me about Ramsey, I tell them, look, he's got a halo. As far as I'm concerned, he ought to be, if I can get him canonized as a saint when he dies, I'm going to do it, because I think he's a saintly man. He's represented all the bad guys over, but they deserve to have the best representation they can get. Everybody deserves a lawyer. Okay, I don't care what you accuse people of, they deserve the best representation they can get. And I've known a lot of them over the years, including directors.
And what about Bobby Inman? What's he involved in?
He's reputedly MJ4, but whether he is or not, I don't know. He's a nice guy. He and I are friendly, so I don't say anything negative about Bob. I don't know anything negative.
So isn't he pro-disclosure? Didn't we hear that?
We hear it, but you know, it's one thing to hear it, and it's another thing to do it. You know, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. So,
what about John Gannon? You know who he is?
Yeah, but I
you think he's involved in SERPO?
I don't know. I'm not a fan of SERPO. You know, I'm kind of negative toward a beyond disclosure and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
You're negative. What do you mean you're negative beyond disclosure?
I think that the people who there are a lot of people out there that supposedly are pro-disclosure or nothing but MJ-12 disinformation ops, and they probably operate under the cover of the DIA, who I have great admiration for also. I've never known those guys to be really bad, other than the disinformation thing. They seem to have a heavy hand in the disinformation game these days.
What about Benowitz? Did you know Benowitz?
Yes, yeah. We met him, and we thought that somebody had spun his loop and put him into a condition where...
Somebody. Yeah. What about Rick Doty? Did he have a hand in that?
He obviously had a hand in it. Did he do it? Was Benowitz already on the slippery slope of mental disorder? I don't know, but apparently if he was, they made sure they greased the slope a bunch more. So I always thought Benowitz was a terrible crime. I mean, it's just a criminal activity.
Did you know Bill Cooper?
Yes.
What did you think of him?
I thought that he ought to... To be very blunt with you, I think Cooper was a patriot in his own way, but he was a bit more aggressive than I am and wanted to fight at every drop of the hat. He once threatened to kill John Lear over me, and I was there the night that he did it, and he thought that I was majestic, and that was just BS in the maximum. And so Cooper probably peed off the cops enough to get himself shot. So you know.
Well, he was heavily involved in outing Waco the way you were.
The difference between him and me outing Waco is I was actually physically doing it and putting it into the record of the case. I was actually doing the investigations that brought up all the crap that, you know, burning them up and gassing them and shooting them and just basically murdering them.
When you say you were involved in the investigations, does that mean you do your own investigation or do you have somebody do it for you?
I did my own investigations for Mr. Clark. and I provided.
Does that
him.
Mean interviewing people? Does that, that mean researching?
That meant everything. I interviewed all of Koresh's wives and got to talk about his sex habits and da 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 da, which was cute. And so yes, I got to interview everybody, and I was well known for doing that. And I was very proud of it. And the fact that we lost is because it says something to do with our fascist judicial system.
So do you think that Operation Paperclip, they brought a bunch of Nazis over here? I mean, tell me you're not using some of those Nazis in your group.
Well, they're not part of my group. They're gone. They're mostly dead. I mean, all those Nazis from World War II, the scientists that Beth and all those guys were all gone. Kammler, I mean, they're gone. There's just no, they're, they don't.
But they had a,
they'd
they
be
had 90, a big hand.
They'd be 105 years old.
Okay, but that they had a big hand in the development of the atomic bomb.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a strong believer that Farrell wrote a good book when he wrote SS Brotherhood of the Bell recently. It's good. It's very good. So I believe the Nazis' influence is out there. We can see the neocon fascism in our government today is out there. So do I believe the Nazis are gone? No, I think they're still active, many of them, and they still believe the same evil crap they did then.
So you've never met an ET. Have you been curious? I mean, you've got hands in every pot, it sounds to me. Yeah. Can't you get an introduction to an ET?
Yeah, we're working on that. We're doing the best we can with the tools we got to do it with. But yes,
you been to Area 51 underground?
Been inside
yeah.
of it?
Yeah.
No. Dulce's, we did a thorough search for the underground area of Dulce, and I mean thorough, and it's bullshit. It's pure, unadulterated BS. There's no underground base at Dulce. We wanted to get in. And we bought into the disinformation long enough to get close enough, and we spent 4 or 5 days trekking the Archuleta Mesa and went all over the place and used seismometers and everything to try to find out if there were underground holes, and we didn't find any of that.
Did you use any Native Americans to help you out?
Yeah, yeah. We talked to all the Apaches out there, and it was just BS. Just BS. It was a disinformation operation.
And you wouldn't be pushing disinfo right now by telling me that?
No. I'll bet you $1 billion that you can't find a hole inside Archuleta Mesa in which you can access an alien underground base there. And I'll bet you $1 billion. I'd bet my life on it because I went over the place with a fine-tooth comb.
Okay. What about underground L.A.?
Well, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, they got tunnels. They got tunneling equipment that is nuclear powered. They can drill tunnels anywhere they want from anywhere, so, you know.
What about under the Capitol?
I believe anything's possible if you want to spend the money.
No, I'm not interested in what you
believe.
No,
I don't know of any underground systems. I'm sure that they exist. I just don't know where they are.
You wired the White House, and you don't know if there's an underground base there?
Well, you got to remember, I did that when I was the guy who built the toy that made it work. And so that was why I was there. There was no other reason for me to be there than the fact that I supplied the checkmate system to do it. So obviously when they needed it in the stall, put it in. I put it in there and the Pernalis Ranch and other places.
What about Montauk? You familiar with Montauk?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
You don't? No, what about the Philadelphia?
That the Philadelphia experiment probably took place and that they may have done it, but I have no proof that they did do it. I haven't seen a scintilla of iota of really substantive evidence that any of that's true. It sounds to me like a disinformation story meant to lead you away from the technology.
Okay, you familiar with Wilhelm Reich?
Yeah.
What about Wilhelm Reich and orgone?
I think he probably got the Food and Drug Administration really angry at him and with his cures, and maybe his cures were real and they didn't want him to do it, and they just said, hey, you got to go, we can't afford you around, you're going to put the doctors out of business, so we're going to get rid, we're going to put your ass in jail. And they have the capability to frame their mothers, so, and they will. So I'm a real fan of their ability to create fake tapes and fake documents and fake this and fake photographs and fake videos, fake anything. They can fake it all to the point where forensically you can't tell reality from surreality and bullshit.
Okay, well, along those lines, I understand that Majestic had a hand in faking emails between you and John Lear that added to the animosity between you. Is that right?
Yeah, they did that, and I'm not sure John Lear didn't have a part of it. So, you know, they actually did that, and they faked some other videos. And
are you able to talk about Kit Green at all?
No. I have nothing to say about Dr. Green. I believe he's the world's greatest neurobiologist and one thing and another. And I think that...
Is he called in on alien autopsies? Do you know that much?
I've heard it, but I don't know what to believe. He has never said it to me. I know that he recently notified me that a bunch of his emails were being faked and that there was stuff that was being attributed to him that was obviously coming out of Majestic's gang. Probably using NSA cutouts to do it.
Okay.
NSA technology. They can bug your phone, bug your computer, and they can read all your email traffic, and they know exactly what they want to put in your next email in order to destabilize your relationship with whoever you're talking to. So, yeah. But Kit Green's a great guy as far as I'm concerned. I have no problem with Kit. He's not an enemy. Contrary to public.
So Jim Mars, he's a wonderful ufologist.
He's a member of our team.
He's a wonderful writer. He's the
historical scribe for the Uram group, and he's hopefully my biographer. They tell me that he's going to do my biography, and that's as complimentary as I can get.
Okay.
You know, he's the world's greatest conspiracy theorist. So.
Now, isn't it true you're working with Eric Julian a little bit nowadays?
Yeah. So.
He's written a book on, supposedly he had E.T. visitation. He went up and flew a craft. He knows how they work. Is he going to help you?
Yeah, I'm going to help him. Helping him more than he's helping me right now. But the answer is, yeah, he's a very bright guy. He may be the Copernicus of the 21st century, but we got to find out that. That's left. He and I have got to have a lot of dialogues about reality. So, but we're getting there because a lot of the stuff that he's talking about, we'd already found out about.
Okay, what about Jack Sarfati and Hal Pudoff? You working with these guys?
Hal and Jack are like Mike and Ike or Alphonse and Gaston or Abbott and Costello and Laurel and Hardy. I mean, all they do is fight each other and castigate and criticize each other. And,
well, do they know anything? Come on, these how
yeah, they,
is
yeah, they, yeah, they got a part. It's sort of like everybody. It's like they've got a little piece of the puzzle. It's like I've got the proverbial elephant. Somebody's got a piece of the tail, and another guy's got a leg, and another guy's got a trunk. Everybody's blindfolded, so they all have a little piece of the elephant, but they don't know the whole elephant. So you know,
they try to work with you?
Oh, yeah. You know, we get along fine. I get along fine with Hal and Jack. Jack is sort of a bit of a monumental, maniacal ego with a huge NIH, not invented here factor, and Hal is a much more level guy with different ideas, and one of them is into white zero point, the other one's into dark energy zero point, and they have their theories, and we don't even believe in any of that. So we have our own theories.
Okay. You know,
our theories are based upon having discovered what we have discovered. So, I mean, Hal is the chief scientist, and Sarfati's welcome to come aboard, but he's got to stop throwing rotten tomatoes at Hal. You know.
What do you mean? Hal's your chief scientist?
The last time I checked.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. It's a matter of record.
Okay.
So they all attend the meetings of the gang whenever the gang's coming together, and they stay tuned to it because it's an alternative. It's an alternative to what they're doing. They got to keep a bet on that horse. It's in a horse race of three or four horses. You got to keep a bet.
You got some remote viewers on your team?
Well, Hal Pudoff is pretty much of a remote viewer. I mean, he pretty much, him and Ingo Swann invented this stuff, so the answer is yes.
Are you saying Ingo's part of your team?
No, I'm just saying that we've got remote viewers. We use the remote viewers.
Okay, so you know you're going to be successful?
I proctoscope the government every so often with remote viewers, yeah.
Uh-huh,
just like they proctoscope me, I proctoscope them.
Okay, are you going to be successful? I mean, are they telling you the future?
I think the only reason I'm not dead at this point is that they know I win. They know from forward time scanning that me and we'll call it me and my coterie of patriots. We call ourselves the Earth Patriots in the film, and so we win. We win. You know, we can't lose because the planet must continue. God didn't develop and go through all of this and create this giant civilization and just to wipe it out because somebody didn't want to stop burning oil. You know.
What is this about Starport that you're trying to tell us about?
Well, you logically can't go forward toward the development of starship technology unless you're going to build starships. And where are you going to build starships? There's only one plant big enough on the planet to do that, and that's the Mishu facility where the Saturn S1B and the Saturn V, those are the moon rockets, and the shuttle main tank are done because it's got the largest bay area, and that's where we believe they're going to be built. And it sits in the middle of a piece of property that we are working now with the governor of Louisiana to develop into a project called Starport, which is an air-sea rail truck container and spaceport for launching starships into as freighters and as aircraft to move passengers and like, you know, zero. You'd probably make it with the right alien, with the right anti-grav technology, you can probably make a trip from New Orleans to Shanghai or Osaka in 20 minutes or less. We see a completely different civilization coming. Completely. An extremely revolutionary condition that is inevitable. It has to happen.
Uh-huh. What year do you think this is going to happen?
Well, as fast as we can get our little programs rolling along, and they're rolling along real well. So I can only tell you that we look to see the technology begin to go into mass production before the end of the decade.
Well, who runs this little consortium that you're putting together? Is it you?
I'm sort of the director general of the project right now, but it doesn't mean that I want to stay there. I'm just doing the thing. We're trying to take a former minister of defense from another foreign country to have him take over the project and get me out of the loop of having to deal with the daily mundane problems of the daily development of the consortium.
It's Can like you tell
Airbus.
Us who that is?
No. No, but we're there. I mean, we're dealing with them, and they know we're there, and they know what we have. And there are a lot of people that know that we borrowed, expropriated, pirated the technology from Majestic, and we're not giving it back. That's that elementary. And so we're developing it, and we're doing it in a way that overcomes the problems that they recognize. One of the big reasons that they don't want to do it is time paradox. Time paradox is a huge problem for them, because if you know the future, then how do you have markets? How do you have interest? How do you have taxes? How do you have government?
How do you have free will?
Yeah.
Isn't that one of your issues?
Yeah, well, I've been Nietzschean until I discovered this, and I'm now at the point where if somebody could give me a script and I could go out tomorrow and enjoy my life and just carry out my tomorrow diktat from the, we'll call it the time forward scan TV, that I could see what I got to do next month, I'd be fine. I'd just go live my life and follow the orders. God wrote the script, why not do it? He knows what he's doing. We're all a piece of him, and why not do it his way? I mean, his way may be a lot better than our way. Free will may not be all that big a deal. So, you know, who cares?
Come on, aren't you the biggest rebel of all time?
But I'm not a rebel against the stuff that I believe is the reality we may have to live with. I mean, so what?
You mean you're a practical rebel?
I'm a pragmatic rebel. If I see that this is the way it's got to be, and if I can facilitate making that happen and it makes the world a better place to live, then great. You know, I mean, I'm anti that.
Am I to understand that you've killed a man?
No, never.
Never?
Never. Never, never, ever.
Have you ever ordered a man to be killed?
No.
So you've got a lot of threats going back and forth, but no.
Got a lot of threats, but there's the you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back, and how I hurt you back may not be the way you hurt me. And so they know that if you have those kind of capabilities of doing dirty tricks, most people don't want to have a guy who has a philosophy of, if you have nothing to do for the rest of your life, go ahead and pick a fight with me. I was there when the bus went by, and a little door opened on the bus, and a mechanical arm grabbed me and says, you're going to take this ride down on this bus in history. And that was it. I couldn't get away from it. It was meant to happen. It was there. If I could do it over again, I'd avoid it. If I could go back and say, I'm not going to be Garrison's chief of security, I'm not going to get involved with the White House, I'm not going to get involved with the CIA, I ain't going to get involved with picking fights with Mr. Hoover and that kind of stuff, I would avoid it like the plague, because it cost me a wife, three kids, $650 million, and 5 years of my life. So I don't want any more of that.
And when do you think you're going to actually, I don't know, be successful? I mean,
if we get the money for this movie, we are successful. We will be making a movie about what we're actually doing. It's basically a docudrama hidden inside of a drama, wrapped inside of an enigma, and on, and a mystery. And so that's what we're doing.
And have you gotten anybody in Hollywood interested?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone we know?
Yeah.
Like?
Yeah. Like all of them. The brass, the moguls, the titans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So they take you seriously?
They take me and my friends at Langley seriously, is a good way to put it. And they take our relationships and our evidence and all the rest of it. We've got it. This is all well documented. This is very well documented.
So when do you start filming?
I would hope that it might be the middle of next year sometime, after we finish the scripts and get ourselves into production scripts, as opposed to just fat treatments for directors and stuff like that. So the answer is as fast as we can go there.
Okay.
So we're making headway, and there isn't much that the Majestic gang of sick bastards can do about it, and they know what the consequences these days are going to be if we catch them playing in our backyard anymore. I mean, it doesn't, they can't send, it's COINTELPRO, Counterintelligence Proactive, same crap that was done in the 60s against the peace movement is done now, except it's much more sophisticated and very strange and very psychological operations oriented. So they know what the price of dealing with this is going to be. It's going to be very expensive, because we know exactly where to put our torpedoes. They're all exposed. We know who they are.
Okay, but isn't it true that the government, or the secret government, already has crafts up there?
Sure.
I mean, in essence, they've got the technology.
Yeah, but
they've been dealing with ET for 40 years.
But so what? I own the intellectual property.
So what is that? They've been manufacturing craft.
They're not manufacturing a lot of them. You see them in a lot of places because they move quick, but there's not a lot of them. And so
black triangles.
So what? You know, that's nothing more than a UFO inside of something that looks like a F-117A to be able to bullshit the public as they come down the rural farm roads. That's an F-117 that's just going slow. It's bullshit. It's all games. It's all psyops. Psyops 101.
Uh-huh.
So, no, I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about them a bit. They better be worried about us, because we are serious guys. And the team is, most of my team are all NSA, CIA, DOD, White House, and we're not somebody you want to go picking a fight with.
Okay.
And I'm not somebody you want to pick a fight with, unless you got nothing to do for the rest of your life.
Okay. Well, I have no desire to pick a fight with you.
I'm not saying I'm a badass. I'm just telling you that I've had a lot of experience dealing with gangsters, gang banksters and gangsters and of every level in society and in our government. And what's the difference between the mafia and the government if they're trying to kill you? None. You know, nothing. They're all the same. So, all gangsters. If I had to do a biography today, I'd title it Government by Gangster, My Experiences as a Citizen of the United States of America.
How's your conscience?
I sleep well.
You sleep well?
Yeah. I used to know Paul Tibbetts, and he bombed Hiroshima, and I used to ask him, I said, how'd you sleep? He said, I slept well. He said, so I killed 200,000 people. So what? He says, I stopped a war from killing another 2 million Americans. So, I mean, my conscience, I have no problem with my conscience. I've never done anything that I am really ashamed of. And notorious or quasi-famous or interesting fellow, you know, that type of thing. All I've done is I was there when the bus went by, and the bus of history brought me aboard, and I just took the ride.
Why do you think you're not actually interviewed all over the place? Because you know a hell of a lot.
Because I avoid it like the plague. If it wasn't for you and I getting along, I wouldn't do this. And the fact is I want some factious advantage right now, which is to put out enough of this to keep the guys, because we're getting really close to snagging the golden ring and off the carousel, and I would like to stick around a while. And if you hurt me, you're going to cause a lot of grief, and my son's going to be very angry, and my friends are going to be very angry, and those little CD-ROMs are going to fly all over the planet, and you're not even going to be able to protect the revolution. And if you have the revolution without preconditioning in the situation, you'll have chaos. It'll make the crash of 29 look like a tea party. So do they want to fight? Go ahead. Pick a fight. You got nothing to do for the rest of your life. Go ahead. I'm here. I'm easy. I'm not hard to find. So the bottom line is that we need to go way beyond the Peace Corps, and we need to form entities within our governments, all governments, with the prime directive to establish peace on this planet in this decade.
So you want to put on your sunglasses and
what for?
Just to give us the sort of
give you the
incognito.
I'm not James Bond. we like to think we eat those guys for breakfast, but the bottom line is that we're just human beings that learned how to fight. I wrote her over, it was right before the first crash retrieval conference in 04, and so I wrote her some letters, some love letters. I thought I was writing her love letters because she didn't show up on time for the crash retrieval conference. And as a result, when I went back to my computer to look at my letters that I wrote her, I could not believe that I wrote them. Okay? Now, what we've just discovered, and I can show you the discovery by Kit Green, is that Majestic, he caught Majestic altering his emails, completely like you would fake a tape. I had caught him doing that last year when John Lear and I got into it over Lear threatening my life, okay?
How did they alter
that? I wrote John an email, and the next thing I know, the email that I wrote is not the email that I wrote. It's on my computer, but it delays. It doesn't come right back. They take there, and they sit there, and they remodify them. And I remember some of the changes. So I called my friends up, and I called up Ron. I said, Ron, they're actually altering my emails. He says, I don't know how they can do that. I said, well, they're intercepting them and doing it.
Do they do that with the intention of creating conflict?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Kit writes a letter saying, don't tell anybody that's fooling with these paradoxes. Be very, very careful, because they'll create a psychomimetic state akin to LSD, mescaline, psilocybin, in terms of your mindset for a period of time. We didn't know how long. With me, it lasted about 4 or 5 days, because I just wrote a blitz of letters to her and didn't remember writing them. They, A, must have been on the phone. B, they knew about this paradox thing from prior work, so they knew when all of the conversations were going on between me and the university that I was doing them, that they would they'd alter my psychology. Ah, here we go. Secret anthologies of an American enigma. Here's my black curriculum vitae. But it doesn't have the it doesn't have the supporting documentation. If you will sit down here, you can read all about the black side of me. I've got a white curriculum vitae too, but this is my black curriculum vitae, which is supported by nothing but documentation. I have it, but I don't have it, the documentation scanned into the computer.
And that's absolutely not for the public domain.
Absolutely. This is the truth. It's Mr. Novell retained as chief of security for New Orleans, this returning former FBI agent Jim Garrison's official investigation assassination of President Kennedy. Because of Mr. Novell's secret relationship with the Johnson White House, he quickly discovered that the alleged facts of Jim Garrison's official state of Louisiana conspiracy investigation were entirely woven out of whole cloth. At the direction of his White House contacts, Mr. Novell secretly supplied this information to a former high-level FBI agent and chief aide of former Attorney General Robert Kennedy, then working for the NBC White Paper Special News Unit. District Attorney Garrison immediately responded by accusing Mr. Novell of being a CIA agent, calling him the most important material witness in his alleged conspiracy to assassinate Mr. President Kennedy. Mr. Novell had absolutely nothing to do with this. President's assassination, was not then and never has been an agent or employee of the CIA. Until this time in his life, Mr. Novell, like all the rest of us, believed the FBI was the good guys.